In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Requiem Mass, the epistle, came from the first letter of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we will not have you ignorant concerning them that are asleep, that you may not be sorrowful even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them who have slept through Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, in the world of the Lord, that we who are alive, who remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them who have slept. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with commandment, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead who are in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be taken up together with them in the clouds to meet Christ into the air. And so shall we be always with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort you one another with those words. Thus concludes the epistle from the first letter of the Blessed Paul, the Apostle to the Thessalonians. Please stand for continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Martha said to Jesus, the Lord, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now also I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it unto thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, although he be dead, shall live. And everyone who liveth and believeth in me shall not die forever. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, who art come into the world. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. You may be seated. Today's Mass, Requiem Mass, is offered for the repose of the soul of Miss Selma Stitcha, and as well for, that's the mother of Father Corey Stitcha, and also for the repose of the soul of Father Kevin Oyland's mother, both of whom died in the past few days. Thank you for assisting at this Mass as well. Even though it's a Requiem Mass, we won't deviate from our intention to complete this work on the devotion to Our Lady, devotion to Mary, written by Father Emil Neubert. But I do ask that you would continue to keep in prayer the mothers of these two priests as they're struggling. One was not real young, Father Corey Stitch's mom, and Father Kevin Oyland's mom. He's basically the same age as me, and he's the only child. So basically the same age as my own mother. So, quite a surprise on his end as well, that this was not in the least bit expected on her account. Remember in our work on devotion to Our Lady that last week we were speaking about how it is that Mary, how we are called to help Mary in her work of salvation of souls. And so this week we are beginning the 11th chapter, which is very nigh the end. We should finish maybe next week this work and begin our new devotion to Our Lady. In chapter 11 this week we will discuss consecration to Mary as this crowning act. There will be four parts to this chapter. First, the example given of Jesus, the nature and form of consecration of Mary, which will have two points and two subpoints: nature of consecration in general, the legitimacy of consecration to Mary, and then the different forms of that consecration. Consecration in the broad sense of the word and consecration properly so called. The third part of the chapter is consecration to the Holy Slavery under the order of St. Louis de Montfort, and that will have four points: its total loving consecration, the basis for the consecration, the practice of the consecration, and the apostles of the last times. Part 4 of chapter 11 is the filial and apostolic consecration of the Father Joseph Chaminade, and we'll examine it in the same way under four parts. First, its basis. Second, the total gift of self to Mary. Third, the application of the two religious families. And finally, for the faithful in general. Let us begin chapter 11 of Consecration to Mary, part 1, the example of Jesus. Consecration to Mary has one of the forms of devotion to the Blessed Virgin for centuries. Can it be included in filial piety towards Mary? Ordinary filial piety does not demand the consecration of a child to his mother. The child does not have to give himself to his mother. He already belongs to her. In certain cases, nonetheless, when filial piety is pressed all the way to heroism, it leads to a kind of filial consecration. We can think of a child who attains adulthood, but instead of freeing himself from his mother's authority and living an independent life elsewhere, he consecrates himself entirely to his mother, who is in need, in order to work and to sacrifice for her until the end of her life. It is not, however, ordinary filial piety that we propose to imitate in our relationship with the Blessed Virgin, but the filial piety of Jesus toward Mary. The Son of God freely chose his mother. From all eternity, he had decided to become the Son of Mary. So even before the Incarnation, he saw and willed to see himself as the Son of the Immaculate Virgin, from eternity and forever. His will was immutably fixed in the decree of his filial love. As he became man, from the first instant of his hypostatic union, his human will ratified the dispositions of his divine will. He was ineffably pleased in the state as Son of Mary, and from that instant, he persevered and will continue to persevere in his filial attachment to the Blessed Virgin throughout eternity. We, on the other hand, are born as children of Mary, and from that very moment that we are born into supernatural life. In this sense, we do not have to choose her for our mother as the Son of God did, but we can freely ratify the choice of our older brother, which has been made for us, and we can render that choice irrevocable, as sacred as possible. As just being children of God by our baptism, we can confirm that divine filiation by the voluntary renewal of our baptismal promises and render it even more irrevocable and more sacred by religious profession or by priesthood. But before considering filial consecration to Mary, properly speaking, it will be useful to study the nature of consecration to Mary and its different forms in order to better understand it. Begin part 2, Nature and Forms of Consecration to Mary. What is consecration in general? Consecration of persons or things can be found under one form or another in various religions, even those not revealed. Its intent is to reserve those persons or things exclusively for divine worship. In the Christian religion, we consecrate both persons, aspirants to the religious life and to the priesthood, and things, such as chalices or churches and the like. We can distinguish 5 elements in perfect consecration. First, its sacred purpose. This is the essential element. The priest becomes the mediator between God and men. The chalice serves for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. All things belong to God, but God allows us to make use of them according to his designs so that, indirectly, they return to God. In order to honor God, however, we can use them directly and exclusively for his service, whence it is consecration. Point 2. Withdraw from common use. The condition sine qua non of their exclusion and distinction. Once consecrated, the priest may no longer engage in purely earthly occupations. Likewise, the chalice and the church are henceforth withdrawn from any profane uses. Point 3. Perpetuity. The consequence of this exclusive destination. The cleric-ordained priest, the temple, once consecrated, remains dedicated to the service of God forever. Point 4. Purity or holiness. To be worthy of rendering special worship to God, the person or the thing must be faultless. Hence, the word holy in the Old Testament, which simply means consecrated, takes on the meaning of virtuous, of perfect, in the New Testament. Point 5. A sacred rite. The rite expresses the public and confirms the determination of the will, investing the rite with a special sacredness. For that reason, the sacred rite is necessary at least for the perfection of the consecration. From a canonical perspective, the sacred rite is indispensable for constituting the state of consecration. One or another of these elements, or even all of them together, might be realized only to an imperfect degree, and then consecration itself is more or less imperfect. Read the footnote, number 81. Consecration and blessing. The word blessing has 2 meanings. First, the etymological sense, benedicere, to say something good to someone or about something, as when parents bless their children or a priest blesses food or a house in order to call down the favor of God upon those who use them. Second meaning, a consecutive sense, or constitutive sense. This reserves certain things exclusively for the worship of God, in other words, holy water, palls, corporals. The constitutive blessing is equivalent to a consecration, and it is its rite that entrains the other elements, says St. Thomas Aquinas in the third part of his Summa Theologica, Article 82, Question 3, Ad Responsum, number 3. Returning to the text. God is certainly pleased with one's consecration to Mary for several reasons. In consecrating oneself to her, one recognizes that God has invested her with dominion over all men. It facilitates the mission confided to her and led us to him in imitation of his Son, our head and model. Several forms of consecration to Mary exist, but they are not equally perfect, all of them. First of all, there is the consecration pronounced by another in the name of the consecrated person, by pious mothers before the birth of their child, by the godparents or the priest at the time of baptism. Such a consecration is often marked by some external sign, the presentation of a child at Mary's altar or wearing the colors of the Blessed Virgin for a certain length of time. There is a personal consecration, but without any specific commitment. Such is the consecration publicly pronounced at one's first communion or when undertaking a mission. The individual is content to recognize the rights of the Blessed Virgin and to express the desire to be her child or her servant, but without promising anything supererogatory. As such, these two consecrations are only loosely so-called consecrations. The person and or his activity are not withdrawn from the common use. There is no dedication to a special service to Mary. There is less thought about giving and more about receiving something. These are less consecrations than they are requests for perfection and protection. The individual constitutes himself not in so much the servant of Mary, but as her client, putting himself under her patronage. This is the idea expressed, for example, in Father Zucchi's acts of consecration to Mary, called the, quote, miraculous prayer, end quotation. The person gives himself totally to Mary. He, quote, consecrates his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his entire person unto her. Yes, it often appears as though it is a total gift, but he does not conclude with, quote, I wish therefore to serve you and to praise you with all strength of my being, end quotation, but rather with, quote, since I belong to you, O my good mother, keep me and defend me as your goods and your property, end quotation. This prayer is a beautiful act of love and of trust in Mary, the very proper it is for acquiring her protection, but not really an act of consecration, except in the broad sense of the word. There are other acts which are properly called consecrations to the Blessed Virgin. The individual gives himself totally to her in order to devote himself to her interests, to the work of her and according to her intentions. Such is particularly the case with the consecrations made by the Sodalis of the Blessed Virgin Mary, a consecration accepted in the name of the Church by the director of the Sodality. Here, for example, is an extract from the ceremonial consecration for the reception of some of the Sodalis. Quote, the presider addresses candidates. You are giving yourselves to Mary. Mary will not allow herself to be outdone in generosity, but recall that serving her in the Sodality is not just honoring her with a special cultus. It is above all remaining faithful for love of the Immaculate Virgin to all the duties of a young Christian. It is also to practice under the auspices of her who has conquered hell, the apostolate of example, of word, and of works, according to your particular circumstances. Do you promise to be faithful to the spirit of Sodality? The candidates respond, we so promise. Then all pray the act of consecration. I give you your name, servant of God, and child of the Holy Catholic, Apostolic, and Roman Church, believe with a profound submission of mind and heart all that the Christian faith teaches me about the excellence of the August Mary, ellipsis, in order to recognize, as much as it depends upon me, her eminent dignity as the Mother of God, in order to render homage to her goodness, her love for mankind, and her incomparable purity, I give and dedicate myself to her cultus. I honor, and I will always honor, her Immaculate Conception in a special manner. I cast myself unto the bosom of her maternal tenderness, and I will fulfill all the days of my life the duties of respect, obedience, trust, and love that the glorious and lovable quality of being a child of Mary inspires in me. End quotation. These consecrations cannot be reduced to pious formulas recited once and for all, or perhaps repeated at several intervals, or merely a request for protection. They entail a host of new duties for the sake of the Blessed Virgin. Explaining the meaning of their consecration to the members of the Sodality, Father Chaminade said, quote, all the rules and the practices given to the Sodality, all the general and particular duties, even the spirit of proselytism which animates the Sodality, emanate from this consecration and are but its consequences. End quotation. Then referring to the Sodalis, who were bound to the service of Mary by vows of religion, he continued, quote, the religious state performed within the Sodality is only a more perfect manner of fulfilling the entire extent of its consecration to the Blessed Virgin. End quotation. what is at stake, and it is insisted upon more and more by the Marian sodalities, is living one's consecration, thinking, feeling, acting according to the example of the intentions of the Blessed Virgin in all the moments of one's life. Among the more perfect consecrations to Mary, two deserve special mention: that of Holy Slavery, preached by St. Louis Gregon de Montfort, and the filial and apostolic consecration taught by Father Joseph Chaminade. These things we will go into not this week, for we've run out of time, but next week. Now, to sum up what we've covered today in this movement toward real consecration to Our Lady, there is the consecration that is merely an exterior sense and only really a begging for protection of Our Lady. And that is a broad sense of consecration. Really, it is placing ourselves as saying, Mary, please just take care of me more and more. But there is a real consecration, more properly sent, which is to say that I place myself entirely at the service of Our Lady. Then I submit myself to her, and I promise to make demands of myself for a greater extent of my being and of my life, which is why he enumerates for us those five sacred purposes for which one is consecrated, which I will review right now. The first is that it's being set aside for a sacred purpose, to do a holy thing. Secondly, that it is withdrawn, the thing or the person is withdrawn from all other common use, so that nothing that one does with these things can ever be done in a profane sense. Thirdly, that it is done in perpetuity, that it is not done for a length of time, for a short period, but rather for the entirety of one's existence, for one's life. Fourthly, that there is supposed to be a particular purity or holiness given to so that it might attain to a real perfection, so that all of its actions or deeds may be done so in a perfect way. And finally, the fifth way is that it must be done with a sacred rite, whether that's a sacred rite which is consecrated sacred by the Church herself, or by one which has been approved by the Church in some way. These are the things which we will drive to as we go more deeply into what St. Louis de Montfort goes into, and Father Chaminade. I would encourage you to pray about it over the course of this next week, and when we return on the following week, God willing, to think about, for the season of Lent, to begin one of these 33-day consecrations, or a consecration under that of Father Joseph Chaminade, that we may become truly more Marian during this Lenten season. And I'm going to have to leave you at a cliffhanger there, for our time has expired. Let us go to God and pray for these souls, Selma and Father Kevin Oyland's mom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.